Hello, this is Jimmy Carter.
How are you, sir?
I'm fine, thank you.
My name is Yehayis Wuhib, originally from Ethiopia.
Yes.
Right now I'm an international radio broadcaster here at the Voice of America.
It's good to talk to you.
It's an honor and a privilege talking to you, sir. Mr. President, Nigeria recently eliminated guinea worm disease, and at least 15 other countries have also rid themselves of the illness. If the disease is spread through water infected with larvae that are microscopic, how do you guarantee that it won't easily return? Meaning, does that country would have to have a modern water sanitation system or a constant testing process?
No, they can still drink water from the same rain pond as before, but what the village has to do is to make sure that nobody goes into the pond water waiting or to get another drink of water with guinea worm emerging from their bodies. So if the adult worms don't go into the water and lay new eggs, then a year later, if everybody does that, then a year later, you won't have any more guinea worm ever unless somebody comes there from outside and goes into the water with a guinea worm coming out. So it's a one-year cycle. It has to go through a human being, and if nobody goes into the water for a year with an adult guinea worm laying eggs, then the disease is gone from that pond forever.
What lessons learned from Nigeria could be applied to other countries?
Well, to get as much publicity as possible for the most remote areas of the country, and to recruit as much assistance as you can. This is the key to it. Quite often, the people in the remote villages they're illiterate. They can't read and write. So we use posters without words on it to tell the story about guinea worm. But you have to go to every single village individually. And we were lucky enough in Ethiopia to have very strong support from a former president, General Gowon, G-O-W-O-N. So we try to recruit as many partners as we can. And this was especially effective in Nigeria, where we started out with about 650,000 cases and went down to zero.
That is amazing. To what extent do you have to reach out to subgroups like women and local leaders?
We depend on them overwhelmingly, particularly women volunteers. Right now, we are concentrating on southern Sudan, which is going to be the last place with guinea worm, and we have about 12,000 volunteers now working for us, with about 100 employees, most of them Sudanese. So we depend heavily on women because they take care of the children. They're the ones that ordinarily go to the ponds to get water. And if we can educate the women about what causes the disease, that's the key to success.
In some parts of Africa, Mr. President, your eradication strategy included former leaders. Who were some of the leaders and how did they help increase awareness about the disease?
Well, I would say the foremost former leader that helped us has been General Gowon, about whom I just referred. And he has a special interest in this disease, and he volunteered to be our partner in Nigeria. And the incumbent president also of Mali was out of office, and he volunteered to help with guinea worm. And former president of Ghana, Flight Lieutenant Jerry Rawlings, also, he's not in office anymore, but when he was president, he was a leader of educating English-speaking countries. So these three men are just typical of leaders that we have gotten to help us.
The Carter Center is credited with respecting indigenous beliefs while eradicating the waterborne parasite. How did you work around some of the beliefs, including erroneous ones that guinea worm is caused by witchcraft?
Well, that was not easy in some cases, and that has caused us some delay in eradicating guinea worm because some of the religious leaders were making money treating the guinea worm disease. There's nothing you can do about the disease, but when the worm is coming out of a body, you can wrap it on a stick, and it hastens the time it emerges. And some of them didn't want to give up their lucrative treatment practice. And others said that we were despoiling their sacred pond out of which they got water. If it hadn't been for the pond, the village wouldn't be there. Their ancestors wouldn't have lived. So they looked on their rain pond as sacred. And when we said that that's where the disease comes from, they said we were insulting their sacred place. So we've had to convince them by showing them the water that comes out of the pond with the little things floating around in it. And also we've just said, okay, you let us demonstrate that we can do away with this disease. So we sometimes it's been very difficult, but we've succeeded now in every place.
Are there lessons from the successful campaign used against guinea worm disease that could be used in efforts against other diseases, including polio?
Yes, we use the same technique against a number of other diseases. That is to go into a village to convince the leaders that we're there to help them, to let them know that they have to do almost all the work. So we're now dealing with a number of other diseases ourselves. For instance, we're working on schistosomiasis. We're working on onchocerciasis, which is river blindness. We're working on trachoma. We're working on lymphatic filariasis, which is elephantiasis. And we also are working on malaria in some cases. But in all of those cases, we use the same technique that we did with guinea worm. That is to recruit as many of the leaders as possible, including the president of the country, the minister of health, the village chief, but also as many volunteers as we can. So the technique that we use on guinea worm basically is the same as we use on other diseases. Of course, all of them don't involve, you know, treatment of a pond water.
Have you had, to work with religious leaders who initially may be suspicious of the intentions of outsiders in the area?
Yes, some of the religious leaders with whom we worked, either witch doctors or some others, have contradicted what we've said because they claim that the disease is caused not by guinea worm eggs in the water, but by other means. Curse of God or confluence of planets or drinking goat's blood, things of that kind. So we've had to recruit whenever possible to get the religious leaders to be partners with us instead of opponents of our program.
Yes, because some actually believe it's intended to impose like birth control or spread of the HIV.
That's right, but what we've used primarily to eradicate guinea worm is just pouring the water through a very fine filter cloth. And I think we can very quickly show them that's not any way to affect the birth of babies or to hurt anybody.
Mr. President, Sudan is one of the last strongholds of guinea worm.
It is the last one.
Which parts of the country are most affected, and is guinea worm present in camps for internally displaced people that we hear so much about?
No, the internally displaced people are in northern Sudan, in the 15 states in the north, and there are no guinea worm cases now in northern Sudan. All the remaining guinea worm cases in Sudan are in South Sudan, and the latest figures I have on that, we know that there are 1,368 cases, 1,368 cases in Sudan, in southern Sudan. And in all the other states combined, that is in Ghana and Mali and Ethiopia, all of them put together only 36 cases. So you see that almost all of the cases now left in southern Sudan.
The south of the country is, as you know, Mr. President, largely underdeveloped and also has relatively little governmental or public health infrastructure. How does this affect efforts to detect and control guinea worm?
Well, it makes it more difficult, and that's probably why we've got southern Sudan as the last place. Also, it's been afflicted, you know, off and on for the last 25 years with a terrible war. And so in the midst of combat, then our volunteers are reluctant to go into some of the villages that are still involved in conflict. And that's a problem for us now because we have some of those villages that still have guinea worm. Our people can't go in there because their bicycles or their pickup trucks or motor scooters are stolen, and they are intimidated because of violence.
So you mentioned this terrible war in Sudan.
Yes.
What effect does civil strife have on controlling the disease?
Well, it's intimidating to our workers, and it makes it almost impossible for us to send in, say, 10 people to work in a village if they're afraid for their lives or if they ride bicycles in and they know the bicycles are going to be stolen from them. And when you have armed soldiers going back and forth through those villages, harassing people and maybe raping their women. So it makes it very difficult for us to get volunteers or even our paid employees to go into troubled places that are still involved in conflict.
Can you describe any cooperative efforts you've had with the central government in Khartoum or with the government in the south to control the disease?
We've had almost perfect cooperation from the government in Khartoum from the very beginning. So we were very quick and successful in eradicating, in eliminating guinea worm from the 15 northern states. And, of course, for a long time, almost all the war in Sudan was concentrated in the south. Now there's an uneasy ceasefire. And we have a very good working relationship with the president of the South, Salva Kiir, and of course he requires his Minister of Health and others to cooperate with us as well. So in the last, I'd say the last 5 years, we've had very good support from the government in South Sudan as well.
Is there anything you'd want to add, Mr. President, about efforts in Ethiopia, Mali, or Ghana?
Well, I think the main thing to add is that we now know every case of guinea worm on Earth. We are concentrating on supervising these people to make sure they don't spread the disease to other people. And we have had a very good reduction in the number of cases in all of the countries in the last year. And we are very confident that in the near future we'll have complete success.
So just a ballpark figure, how close are these countries from wiping out the disease?
Well, let me give you a couple of examples. In Ghana, this year, we've only had 8 cases. And last year, at the same time, we had 236 cases. So that's a tremendous reduction.
Big reduction.
Okay. In Mali, last year, we had 74 cases at this time in late August. 74 cases. Now we have 13 cases this year. So you see, that's a tremendous, that's an 82% reduction as well.
Yes.
In Ethiopia, we only have 15 cases left.
The work is almost done.
Almost done in those countries, but we still have almost 1,400 cases in Sudan. Oh. We have very good control over those cases as well. So we're making very good progress in all 4 countries. And of course, the other 16 countries don't have any guinea worm left.
Mr. President, I hope you success in your work. And
good luck to you. We love your country, by the way.
Oh, Ethiopia?
Ethiopia.
Yeah. I mean, all of Africa loves you anyway, but Ethiopia, you have a special place.
Well, I feel that way. Well,
yes.
Best wishes to you, and thank you again.
Thank you, sir.
Goodbye.